I'm with Liam Barrington-Bush talking about his book Anarchists in the Boardroom. Great title. Where did the inspiration come from?
Well, it came from a couple of quite different life experiences I've had, one of which was sort of my teenage years and a number of times since being involved in sort of grassroots protest movements around the world, the anti-globalization movement initially, but then more recently with Occupy and more local things like some of the anti-fracking protests recently. And then also my experience in the voluntary sector, the more formal sort of organizational end of the social change world. And really finding that there were some significant differences between the two that I couldn't quite put my finger on for quite a long time. And realizing that the world of formal organizations seemed to suck a lot of the life out of people a lot of the time. There was a particular large national charity I was working in at one point that really shook my faith in what working for social change was all about. But I'd also met a number of other people in a range of other organizations who were sort of living similar experiences and all sort of convinced that they were working in particularly dysfunctional organizations. But then realizing that these same stories were coming up over and over again, from the international development world to the community development world, from sort of health and social care to campaigning and activism, and that a lot of these organizations were having the same negative effects on the people inside them and also the people around them, as often the sort of the rigid professional hierarchies that I think are sort of remnants of the industrial era, really, basically made it very hard for people to bring about the kinds of change they wanted to see.
And what are the ideas in here that people would recognize maybe wherever they're working?
Well, I mean, there's three principles I sort of bring through in the book, humanity, autonomy, and complexity. And I talk about these three things as kind of the building blocks for an organization that's more like people. An organization that's more like what happens when we get together outside of job titles and business plans and hierarchies and work together on things that we care about. And basically through these three principles, I think we can start to find a range of practical answers to people in a range of organizational settings as to different ways we could organize ourselves for the causes that we care about. And I don't think that's at all sort of, those things are very strong in the social movements I've been a part of and very strong in the emerging online networks of social media. But I don't think there's anything that says they can't be a part of most of our voluntary organizations if we want to try and take them on and find the ways that they could apply.
And the map, your little map at the beginning of the book talks about the individual change and change in work and change of the structures. And quite a lot of things that would resonate very widely with people, whether they're working in companies or not or whatever. So kind of what are the tips in there?
Well, essentially it comes from this approach of anyone within an institution can help make change happen. And that, well, our long-established or hierarchical organizational narrative has kind of said that change comes from the top and trickles down due to an enlightened board or an enlightened director or executive, that in fact I see organizations as complex systems, and as a result change can come from anywhere, and the point with that map is really that it could relate to the way you engage with a colleague on any day, a given day of the week. It could relate to the ways the organization hires new staff. Could relate to how a meeting gets held. It could relate to any of these elements. There's a kind of what I would call a more like people approach to doing them that often is not actually that complicated. That often is just the way we do things when we aren't in our organizations, and it's sort of learning to learn from the rest of our lives a lot of the time in order to develop new ways of organizing ourselves. So, I mean, I think there's definitely applicability across the organizational spectrum on some of this stuff. I focused on voluntary, nonprofit, trade union kinds of organizations because I feel like there's the biggest dissonance that often exists between the theory of what those organizations exist to do and what and how it plays out internally and externally to a certain degree. But I think any kind of business that or local authority, for example, that is really committed to creating a better world in some form or another could do work to align their practices with their underpinning value, with those underpinning values as well.
And where have you found the energy over the last year or two to actually do the book? Because the book is self-published, you crowdfunded it, you took off to Mexico for a year. That's quite a personal journey.
Yeah, it's been an incredibly exciting, at times incredibly exhausting process. For the most part, it's been a phenomenal experience. The year spent, my wife and I went to Oaxaca in the south of Mexico, and it's an amazing place to get inspiration on stuff like this, because a lot of the indigenous cultures, which are very, very strong in the south of Mexico, have had a sense of sort of anarchism in their fabric that goes back to pre-colonial times. A lot of the communities, indigenous communities in Oaxaca, are self-governing. They're not at the whim of the state or federal government. And so I had the opportunity to spend some time in some of those communities and actually see people doing these things with hundreds or thousands of people organizing in ways that were essentially a participatory democracy that most of us don't have an opportunity to experience much of the time. So I've really tried to bring some of that energy and some of those stories into the book as well, in terms of highlighting some of the possibilities that can exist.
And we were talking a bit earlier around this and about, you know, methods and processes and so on. And I think you said what's crucial is context and people.
Yeah, context and relationships specifically, that so much of the problem with a lot of strategies, the amount of time and effort that goes into organizational strategies, the efforts to sort of scale up a good idea, to roll it out across the board, that the fundamental things they miss out on are the fact that every project I've ever been involved in lives or dies on the basis of the people actually doing it, and the context that they're in, and how the same community 2 years apart would respond differently to a certain blueprint for change. A community, an estate, 15-minute walk from another estate you wouldn't be able to necessarily take the same approach that worked to curb youth violence or something like that in one area and take that to another place, because the relationships are different and the context is different. And if we don't acknowledge that, we're going to be doomed to only succeeding through chance or people essentially throwing out the rule books, which is often what good workers do in a lot of community workers, youth workers do in a lot of those kinds of situations, is scrap the strategy that's been given to them from on high and get on with being responsive and listening to people and hearing about what's going on locally in that moment. And it's that kind of responsiveness and connection to what's happening there and now that tends to be the key to every kind of successful community project I've ever been involved in.
And what reception are you getting to the book, and how are you promoting it?
It's an interesting one. I put the idea out to my networks that I'd like to do a sort of a crowdsourced book tour with this, to sort of follow on from the ethos of the crowdsourcing a lot of the research that went into it as well. And what's happened is I've had a number of people, mostly around the UK, but now in Europe and a little bit in North America as well, who have been really keen to invite me to come speak or do workshops or be a part of a conversation around these ideas, many of whom work in voluntary organizations or trade unions during the day, but don't feel their organization would have any space for these ideas. And so people have been essentially paying out of pocket to buy me train tickets, letting me sleep in their spare rooms, doing this grassroots, essentially, which on the one hand feels incredibly appropriate for the book, but is also a sign of how far our organizations have to come if they're not willing to host some of these discussions.